Please turn with me to the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter. John's Gospel, chapter 20. We will read the first 18 verses, and we will be considering verse 17 this morning. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white apparel, in white, sitting upon one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, they turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." Teacher said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. As we have already said this morning, the resurrection of Christ is a very important event in the work of salvation. It is a great event. We praise God for his resurrection. It is an event to celebrate. We celebrate that resurrection. And in fact, we celebrate it each Lord's Day. In a very real way, each Sunday is Easter. But specifically, our celebration is realizing that we have new life in Christ. It is a new life, which is a life we live each day in our lives. The resurrection of Christ, while a very, very important day, is not just the important day itself. It is the foundation of the gospel. Unless Jesus rose from the dead, having suffered the wrath of God, being nailed to the cross, and being put to death because of Adam and Eve and our fall, into death, there would be no salvation apart from that. And unless you believe in the resurrected Lord, see him as Mary was led to see and as the disciples, that he is resurrected, you are still dead and have no life. And yet Jesus is not just the risen Savior, he is the Lord, the King, who has died that you might live for him. And so as we celebrate not only today but each Lord's Day and with our life of living before God, understand that it is possible to state some sort of belief in Christ, to take his name upon our lips, and yet not really understand that he is the risen Lord, the King. I want you to consider with me this morning what that really means, that he is not just alive, but he has been risen that he might establish his kingdom. Now, Mary had a great devotion to Jesus, a devotion which is very commendable. And she was concerned, as those sorts of things were done in that time, to take care of the body, to anoint it as a dead body was provided for. One could certainly not say that Mary lacked in her dedication to her Lord. And yet, obviously, as with some of the other disciples, she lacked yet in understanding. They really did not get the point, as Jesus had taught them, that he would rise again. People were, of course, the custom was to provide to, as people had been buried in open tombs, to provide for their bodies. And yet when she did not find him, this was of great concern. She was distraught. It brought her to tears that she could not only have lost this friend, this teacher, but could not take care of his body as it was her to do. We commend Mary for her desire for this service. But there is seeing Jesus, if I can put it this way, there is a seeing Jesus, and there is a really seeing Jesus. And so we learn even more about the lack of faith. There are several incidents when those who knew him intimately, those who had been with him for some time, were very familiar with Jesus, and the first time they saw him, they didn't recognize him. Was it simply because of unbelief or so overcome with grief? Apparently there was some change to the resurrected body, but there is no reason to believe that he looked differently in some way, that all of a sudden he's not recognizable by people. The reality is that the inability to really see Jesus is not a problem of were their eyes open and did they recognize the features of his face. It's a problem of belief, a problem of faith. She was unable to see Jesus because she did not have the faith that it took to see the resurrected Lord. I'm reminded of the confrontation with Jesus had as we talk about seeing Jesus, what it takes to see Jesus. You will remember in John chapter 10 where the disciples were, or the Pharisees and the Jews were confronting Jesus and were telling him, won't you please tell us, why don't you just tell us, are you the Christ? And he is standing there and having a conversation with them. He's right there before them. And yet he says, you do not see me because I am not you are not of the Father. You see, unless Jesus opens the eyes, no one will see Jesus. It is Jesus who brings himself to us. It is Jesus who leads us to see him. While Mary's devotion is not to be taken lightly, she yet needed to be led to really see Jesus. It's a very important question here. What is it that actually took place when all of a sudden she realizes that this is Jesus? She's been talking to this person. She has seen him. What happened so that now she sees him? Did she finally figure it out? Did she control herself enough that tears got out of her eyes so that she could see? Jesus looked at Mary and he spoke her name. Actually, he probably said Miriam, which would have been the familiar Aramaic use of that name. And she sees him. It is Jesus who calls to Mary. It's important to note that. It is Jesus who brings Mary to the point that she recognizes him. It is Jesus who puts in her, not taking scales off her eyes or something, but the scales of her heart, her spiritual eyes. The truth of God can be right there. The truth of the resurrection, which has been told here, and which even saw right there before them. But unless Jesus comes to you and opens your eyes, you will not see it. Jesus makes himself known to Mary. She was not one who was attempting to run away from Jesus. She was as devoted and dedicated as anyone. But until he made himself known to her, Jesus said as well in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Now again, think about what happens when Jesus does call Mary's name and she sees him. She responded and she called out to her teacher, Rabboni, which was again the Hebrew word for, or Aramaic word for, a teacher. She confessed, because that was an acknowledgement of him as the Christ. So we have someone whose eyes are opened, who knows Jesus, not just as he loved friend, but now he confesses, she confesses faith in him. Doesn't mean that her faith was yet absolutely complete, that she understood everything. There is yet more teaching to take place. There is yet more growth on her part. But she confesses faith to him. But now we get to an even more point of what is recorded by the Apostle John in our text this morning. An interesting little incident or statement that takes place. What is this faith? Understanding it, not just that she is able to see that this is Jesus even, but more than that. Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So what is this all about? Is Jesus saying, "Hey, don't hug me, don't touch me yet"? I don't think so. We read in Matthew 28:9, speaking of the women, that they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. This is not about physical touching. I don't know whether she hugged him or not. But this is something way different. This has to do with how they understood their relationship to him. What is she really hanging on to? What is it that is important in her relationship with Jesus? And it's in that context that he says, understand that I have yet to go to my Father in heaven and be seated at the right hand of God. Now we are brought to see what faith really is, as Mary was led to see that. This is a connection, or a continuation, if you will, of his revelation to her to see the fullness of recognizing the risen Lord. You know, the events that had taken place were very difficult for the disciples. I don't think we can begin to appreciate that week that disciples went through. They were close to their Savior. They were convinced that he was going to be the king who was going to bring in the kingdom, understanding the kingdom in terms of what the Jews were looking for, a kingdom where there were no Romans, there were the glorious kingdom of the Jewish people, and that they would have that peace. It was a most trying context for the group that surrounded Jesus. Keep in mind the entire notion, as I said, of looking for a kingdom from that perspective, which was simply an earthly physical kingdom. And so that had to do with being close to him, being his disciples. Remember, two of the disciples were talked about, or their mother, about one sitting on one side and one on the other. It is based on a physical presence of Jesus. They were not thinking about what they might do to advance the kingdom of God. They were thinking about what was going to be there for me as I am now close with my Jesus in this kingdom. For Mary and the others to just hang on to Jesus, to just have him there so they could simply benefit from his immediate presence. But if they did that, if they say, whoa, just look what happened. We thought you were dead to us. We didn't know where we were going to go. This was terrible. Now here you are again. And boy, this is great. Now we can just really be together. And Jesus says, wait a minute. It's not what this is about. Don't cling to me in that way. Jesus needs to be on the throne. He needs to ascend to heaven. He needs to be seated at the right hand of God. And here is the thing. To truly be devoted to Jesus is not just to hang on to him. It's not just to say, and it's easy to do that. And there's a lot who do it just that way. To say, well, yes, I found Jesus. He's my friend. He and I are buddies. It is to believe in the kingdom of Christ. It is to believe in the establishment, and therefore to say that the thing that I cling to, not just this superficial relationship, but the thing that I cling to is that I am now a soldier in the kingdom of Christ, of which my Lord and Savior not only went to the cross, but rose again, defeated the power of death, defeated the kingdoms of this world, defeated the kingdom of Satan, and goes to be with God in heaven. Consider the picture that we have in 1 Peter and the second chapter. First of all, verses 4 through 8, where it talks about the building of the kingdom and the church as made up of living stones, of what Christ is the head, and we are the living stones. We are being built up together, a kingdom. And then 9 and 10 talks about that royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. Jesus says, don't just cling to me, but rejoice as I go to my kingdom to build the kingdom of Christ. Mary is still learning about faith. She needed to do more than just recognize Jesus. There is a sense in which, first of all, she didn't even see this man, thinking he was the gardener. And then her eyes are open and she sees him. But there was more needed. Many are even devoted to the idea of Jesus. Speak of some kind of relationship with him. And again, I don't mean to belittle that. Certainly we must take Jesus' name upon our lips. We must confess Jesus. We must say his name as Mary did. But it is possible to have a sense of Christianity in which just that in itself is really all that there is. Many even go to church on Sunday and call up to him because it's important, but then set him aside from Monday through Saturday. Jesus is not just someone for you to say, I know Jesus and I feel good about him. Nor is complete faith in him simply I've confessed him, I know something about him, and I am a member of the church. When you confess Jesus, you need to recognize him as the resurrected and ascended king, as Mary was told to do, to go tell her disciples. How many people across the country today will be in church this morning and not again for another 6 months or until Christmas? Also, even if they are more often, how many of them will have given their lives in service to Christ because he is the risen king? Because he is on the throne. The resurrection of Jesus is about the kingdom of Christ. Yes, he's a personal savior. Yes, we know him, and we need to know him a personal way. But he's the risen savior. To celebrate the resurrection in faith is to live your life recognizing the risen Lord. Indeed, Jesus did ascend to the Father. Yet Jesus says to you the same as he did to Mary. Do not cling to me in the sense of, well, just I have his name. Remember, Jesus said there will be many who will say, Jesus, Jesus, on that day, and he will say, I never knew you. Jesus is asking you that if you are indeed celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, then you will recognize him as the ascended Lord. He has a job for you, not just a place to enjoy his physical presence as Mary wanted. He has a job for you. He is your king, and we acknowledge that kingship. The final thing that you must absolutely see, you cannot begin to truly recognize Jesus as Lord if you do not worship him. Even in our worship, we do not gather to just say, Jesus, Jesus, I worship Jesus. What do you cling to today? Do you cling to Jesus as something to hang on to simply for your comfort? Or do you cling to the commitment of living for God because Jesus is alive, because he rose and he went to be with his Father in heaven to establish the authority of his kingdom? I call on you that you trust, not to, that you cling to the resurrected Lord, that you do cling to the resurrected Lord who has ascended and is the King of glory. Let us pray together. Our God and Father, it is with a great sense of the joy that is ours that we, with Mary, say, our teacher, our Lord, our master, our King. May your kingdom ever be expanded. May your rule be powerful. May your word be made known. And may the eyes, not only of faith of Mary and of all of us, but the eyes of all whom you have in eternity sought to bring unto yourself, see him and celebrate together the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.